Let's welcome everybody in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is the National Hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and seen coast to coast on Sportsnet. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. And if you can't catch us live, you can always download our pod on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Where else, Sammy?
Everywhere. Everywhere you get your pods?
Everywhere.
You can get us. And tell us you like us or hate us and give us 5 stars.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, the old rating and review.
Subscribe. Do everything.
I read a review, one on you.
Oh.
Wow.
Can't be great.
No, it was really good.
Oh, like,
thanks, which Tom. Which
then I did a thumbs down.
I get a thumbs up
or thumbs down. I'm going to find it for you.
I got a buddy, my buddy Donnie, who loves this show. And he once in a while, he'll send me like a negative YouTube comment. I'm like, Donnie, brother, I don't read these for a reason.
Yeah, no, I'm actively avoiding these.
Like, Donnie, relax.
Well, it's all based on how much you talk Leafs in our National Hour.
Yeah,
I think that's the
right.
One that gives
they
you
hate
the...
That.
So generally I like to think I'm a fairly positive guy. I want to start by complaining about the way the NHL season starts. Can I do that? Is this the right forum?
Starts Wednesday or starts in Prague?
Yeah. Did it? It started, right?
Yeah. It started, yeah.
Yeah. What, at lunchtime on a Friday in Prague? Great.
Yeah.
How many people watched that? 9?
10 a.m. Saturday morning, not prime time for a hockey game?
That's not for you.
Okay, so that's not for me. Can the start of the season be for me and not St. Louis, Seattle at 4:30 on a Wednesday?
Tuesday.
What are we doing?
Well, that's I'll tell you what we're doing.
Can we have an event?
We're like kissing the ass of ESPN and Amazon. That's what we're doing.
Can we not? It would be great if what we did was it's opening night. It's Saturday. All 32 teams are playing. It's opening day. It's a big deal. It's a thing to sell.
Listen.
Or through the NFL. NFL had their first night. Chiefs. Baltimore Ravens right out the gate.
Let's go.
They are the kings of the castle.
For a reason. They make good decisions.
But if you were going to try to do 16 games in one day, it's virtually impossible.
They do it. It happens throughout the year.
The NBA doesn't start with the Charlotte Hornets and the Toronto Raptors at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
No.
They start with the Lakers.
Like, it launched the season out of a cannon. We're like, it's actually started. Yes, there's preseason games going on.
So they wanted the triple header Wednesday. Tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
tomorrow.
It's
a triple header.
Triple header, baby.
So the first game's what?
St. Louis.
4:30 Eastern.
Seattle, yeah.
Could you name two more middling teams in the league? The 18th and 19th ranked Blues and Kraken.
Where's the Kipper?
Later today, the last place Blackhawks against the team that just came into the Utah Hockey Club.
Mm.
Least Boston, Florida. Oh, we have
Boston,
Florida.
Are you good?
But
you feel better.
People agree with me on that.
You feel better?
That was as mad as I think I've ever heard you.
It's
okay.
Stupid.
Let's start off this National Hour welcoming in Andrew Raycroft, retired goalie, does work with the Boston Bruins, co-host of The Morning Brew with our good friend Billy Jaffe, and of course, yours truly, Razor, pulled over, FaceTiming us. Thanks for doing this, pal. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I just ran out of my daughter's hockey practice.
So awesome.
I started at 5, so I'm just missing warm-up, and I'll get back out there.
We really appreciate your time because there was no bigger story in the National Hockey League this weekend than the thought that maybe Jeremy Swayman and the Boston Bruins would not agree to a contract in time for opening game. Doesn't mean he's playing opening game, but I think the Bruin fans can have a bit of a sigh of relief here. I'm sure you've been busy with this story, but you're the guy that we wanted to talk to about this and just overall your surprise in a very short period of time coming off Cam Neely's comments to Lewis Gross's comments to where we sit today. How did you see this play out?
Well, I was surprised it didn't get done over the summer, to be honest. I thought they would both be in a place where they could get it done. And if there was a holdout, it would be a few days, you know, Jeremy, we heard obviously a lot of talk of the arbitration, et cetera, that, you know, maybe he'll sit out a few days, make everyone answer a few questions, but at the end of the day, get it done. And then with the press conference last Monday, That was an interesting morning. When Cam piped up and said, I was surprised, that was the one where it's, ooh, here we go. And of course, he went on and talked about the 64 million reasons, the statement that night. And you get out of there Monday, and of course, my phone's buzzing. Everyone's talking about, okay, now what does this mean? And December 1 really got put to the forefront right away. Couple days later, and just being around it, you're like, okay, maybe this actually closed the gap. And now, in hindsight, I know Lewis Gross did an interview today and kind of talked about that got the wheels going. That made us talk. That made us communicate a little bit more. And then at the end of the day, guys, you know it, Kipper and Bourne, you guys know it as well as anyone. Money talks. And both player and team were going to be hit financially finally tomorrow, or today, I guess. So that's really the ultimate pressure point, and we saw it play out that money at the end of the day talked. The Bruins were going to get hit with cap issues, and Jeremy Swayman was going to have money taken out of his pocket on a daily basis, and fortunately that was the pressure point that got things done.
So do you think there'll be any repercussions from this in terms of, A, the relationship with Swayman and the team, or Swayman's ability to be up to speed early on? You know, what can come from the way this played out? Sorry.
Well, I think the team relationship, player relationship, I think that's fine. The fact that it's an 8-year deal, if it was a 3-year deal, you might be thinking differently. We might be expecting something to happen again in 3 years. But with 8 years, this is going to be more than water under the bridge. Once the season gets going, no big deal at all. You move on. Hockey-wise, performance-wise, it will be interesting to see where Jeremy's game is at. He was training with the college guys around the corner. But we all know that that's a little bit different. Now, he has an ultimate belief in himself. I won't be surprised if he plays tomorrow night. I know that was like when Montgomery talked about that last week, that was part of the same conference call as negotiating time. So there was a little, he was undecided today, Jim Montgomery was. Didn't 100% say it was Korpisalo. So if we don't see him tomorrow night, Jeremy Swayman, I got to imagine he's doing the home opener, and we'll see. For the Bruins' sake, you hope, and his sake, you hope that he's up to NHL performance. If he is, then that's a whole nother discussion of why are we even doing preseason, and that can be an interesting one. He might be the guinea pig for kind of the swell that was coming the last couple of days with some of the injuries and people talking about preseason. So it remains to be seen. I didn't see him on the ice. So I can't tell you what he looks like. He practiced today in Florida, but it wasn't my own eyes looking at him.
We're talking to Andrew Raycroft, former NHL goalie and now studio analyst for the Boston Bruins. So the whole play out of Cam Neely calling out the 64 million reasons, the sign last exhibition game that said 64 or get lost. So
tough sign,
once
man.
Once things went a little public, of course, egos are involved, right? And the tendency for us outside looking in is trying to evaluate, was there a winner? Was there a loser? Who looked better? Who looked worse? Did Cam's comment absolutely work? Did the kid cave? How do you see it?
Well, you can't say that, you know, after signing a $66 million deal that you caved. That's pretty good stuff. You know,
good point.
Games,
what a loser.
132 in his career. That's, I would cave all week
so fast
if I was getting $66 million, you know, dollars, let alone million. So I think at the end of the day it got pretty much as fair as possible. I think the word, you know, like, it wasn't like the way it would have caved. I think we would be saying the word cave if it went into the regular season and either the Bruins went 7-0 or they went 0-7 and one of two parties had to go hat in hand to the other. Mm-hmm. That would have been a cave situation. This one, I think, is a little bit fair. It's a lot of money for a guy who's only played 132 games, but with the term and being as young as he is, and the cap going up, you would expect this to be a pretty good deal from the Bruins side in 4 or 5 years. So I think it hit the sweet spot. And it comes down to performance now, right? It's Kipper, you guys know there's no bad players in the NHL, just bad contracts. And that's now Jeremy Swayman's expectation as an $8 million guy. The first time he gives up a bad goal, of course, Boston media and media in the NHL is going to go to the contract, but that's what you have to live with when you're a big boy.
Razor, massive turnover for the Bruins this season. It's a Heinen and a Lauko and DeBrusk and all these guys out, but you get Elias Lindholm in and Zadorov. What are your thoughts on the changes made there and where it leaves the Bruins?
Well, so I think they're better than they were on this day last season. Going into last season, they had lost Bergeron, they had lost Krejci. Who's going to play center? Is Pavel Zacha number one center? On the back end, who's filling in? Like, for 3 or 4 years, it's been who's the big left-handed defenseman that the Bruins have? They're too small on the back end. Matt Grizzlick's of the world, just not big enough. That narrative has all changed. The back end is huge. The depth players, the Castellics, the Max Joneses that they brought in as well over the summer made them bigger in the bottom six. So I think they're better than they were last season. There is still a hole. Jake DeBrusk leaves a hole on the second line. He played with Charlie Coyle and Brad Marchand almost all season last year. They didn't fill that role. They didn't have money to fill that role. So right now it's Morgan Geekie on that line. Can he add to his 17 goals last season? I think that's the real question for this team is not depth scoring, but can they score enough? You know, especially in the Atlantic Division, when you're looking at the Florida Panthers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and even the Tampa Bay Lightning, can they score enough? So I think they're, but no question, they're a better team than they were going into last season with their back end being very big, very long, very mobile. Mason Lowry too, right? He wasn't in the lineup last season. He emerged against the Toronto Maple Leafs last year. And then Elias Lindholm centering the number one line with David Pastrnak and then moving Zacha over to the left.
So Zadorov, can he pick up? Like, he ended up being this cult hero for the Vancouver Canucks, yeah. Man. He was like all world. Has he picked up where he's left off? Is there an adjustment? Will we see him slowly work into a top four role?
Yes, I think that I think he's in a perfect position for signing a huge deal in the summer. The expectation's kind of low. He doesn't need to score 15 goals. He doesn't need, like, he's the, right now, through going into tomorrow night, it looks like he's on the third pairing with Andrew Peak. Bruins went with Lindholm, McAvoy, then Lowry, Carlo, and then Zadorov and Peak. So if he fits into the Bruins system, understands D, you know, the dots in and B is that physical presence, I think his bar is set fairly low that he can continue to be the guy that he was in Vancouver just by, because he doesn't have to overreach and be something he's not.
Do you see anyone in the division? Like, where are the Bruins in this division now? Florida coming off a cup, Leafs probably a little bit better, but you've got some teams chasing Detroit and Ottawa and Buffalo all trying to get better. Kipper picked the Bruins to win the division, I'll have you know. Do you see them as that good?
I do see them that good. It's going to be like Florida. I don't think they don't care if they win the division, right? Mm-hmm. The Florida Panthers don't care. As long as they, if they're the eighth seed, they're probably be more happy playing in that position. I think Toronto is just going to score a lot of goals. And similar to last year, they just get into the playoffs because they're so talented. I think the Bruins are in that situation. Now, the Bruins did go 10-0 to start the season both the last 2 years. I don't expect that to happen, but I do expect them to be a 100-point team. But I don't think, similar to Florida, I think, and really probably the Maple Leafs are thinking the same thing, just get in because the Atlantic's so difficult. It is the best division, I think, especially the top four teams. So I think that they're going to compete for that top spot because, again, I think they're better than they were last year, and they were 1 point away from winning the division last season. So I think they will compete there. I don't think it's a team that's like going to try and get 85 points. I think they're more of a 100-point team. And then playoffs, it's all about matchups, as we found out the last few years.
So in terms of the center ice position with the Boston Bruins, obviously Elias Lindholm comes in. And he goes pretty much 1-2 with Coyle, correct?
Correct.
In my world, those are two good centermen, but I don't see them as legit number ones. So how does it play out in this middle? That they're going to do this by committee here, or is Lindholm a legit number one guy on a contending Stanley Cup team?
No, that's That is a question, and I would somewhat agree with you. I would agree with you, not somewhat. I would agree with you in that. Now, the only caveat to that championship idea is when the Bruins, and we're going back to 11 and 13. I know that was 10. It was a different game then, but even in 19, you know, Bergeron, it wasn't like he's a 100-point guy. He was never a 100-point guy. He plays a 200-foot game and let his wingers do the work. Lindholm is cut out of that same mold. Charlie Coyle's cut out of that same mold. So, that's where I go to the wingers and a guy like Jake DeBrusk, a 30-goal guy that was pretty consistent or close to it. That's where they're kind of missing out. So I think with Lindholm and Coyle, they just add so much defensively in their 200-foot game, but they do need some more goal scorers. They need Pasta to get 55. They need Marchand to get back up over the 30 mark and chip in. So, I do agree with you in that respect where you know, it's not Sasha Barkov, right? It's not Connor McDavid, but I think it's just built a little bit differently.
No, I look around the league now. I'd love to get your thoughts on goaltender tandems. It seems like tandems or even trios are kind of the way to go now. I'm curious how much Swayman will give up to Korpisalo in terms of games played, but also just your thoughts on the way the position has changed in terms of how much guys play.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to be a goalie in the league. There's so much east-west. The players are so good. The power plays are so good. You just can't play 70 games. You can't play 65 games. I think it's just too much of a load. So I would expect, specifically Swayman and the Bruins with Korpisalo, I think it's a 55-30 mix, or, you know, however you want, 50-32, or no, more 55-27. And I think that's really the ideal sweet spot for all teams. Try and get their starting goalie under that 60 mark or right around the 60 if necessary. And then the other guy plays, once a week, basically. I think that really is the best mix. And, you know, the guys that play a little bit more are the ones that they're fighting for a playoff spot down the stretch. And they end up getting 15 of 20 at the end of the year or 15 of 18 at the end of the year. But the good teams, ideally, they're always going to be right around that 57 to 60 at most for a goaltender. It's just so hard to be a goalie now.
Just one more thought on that, and I promise I'll let you get back to your daughter's practice, okay? Last year, we saw this amazing chemistry between Ullmark and Swayman. Ullmark's gone. He's in Ottawa now. And we had Steve Ellicott on last week, and he talked about sometimes guys like a comfort zone on knowing what kind of player they're going to be. And if you stretch them out to from 30 games to 40 or 50, it's some guys just can't make that adjustment. So I'm asking you for Ullmark to step out of the scenario that he had with Boston, a very comforting situation, to now being the man in Ottawa. What do you expect out of Ullmark in Ottawa?
I'm watching intently on that. I and just as much that as just being in Canada, it's different, right, guys?
You know about
it's
it.
Different, and I too well. I know.
Yeah.
And Ottawa's not Toronto, but Ottawa's still in Canada. And if it gets off the rails a little, I am curious in that because it was, and to be honest, a little bit with Swayman, right? Like he had the first year it was Tuukka and Ullmark, and now Ullmark, like. It's different being the man, and it's definitely different being the man in Canada. So I think there's a lot to be watched when it comes to that. And what Valley was talking about is 100% real. It's easy to be in a comfort zone when you know, okay, I lose this game, but the other guy's going to win and everyone's going to forget about my last loss rather than losing to Toronto on Saturday night, then playing in Montreal Tuesday night, losing that game and coming home. Having to play three games in a row after losing two in a row and playing the Buffalo Sabres on Thursday night to get in the playoffs. That's different pressure than going every other and everyone forgetting your last start. So it is something to watch for sure. And Linus is an unbelievable goaltender talent-wise, but it's definitely something he hasn't tackled before.
Razor, great stuff, man. And we're going to let you go. Get back to practice, to the stale coffee, and I don't know, Dad's complaining.
Thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it.
No, anytime, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, and enjoy the first few weeks of the season.
As you will too. As well. Andrew Raycroft. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting play for sure. You know, as far as Swayman's situation, like, come on, between Boston and maybe even Lewis Gross, you guys couldn't get there without all this
I agree
drama.
With that. Like, you're going to get to this number-ish anyway.
Razor got a legitimate LOL laugh out of me.
With what?
With the, I would have caved, like, that's caved, that's great caved.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a good laugh out of me.
If you spent all summer asking for 10 mm-hmm. or 9.5 or something significantly more, mm-hmm. and you stuck on it, and, you know, it's not like there weren't legitimate arguments to suggest that he should get to 9.
But there's enough to contradict it. It depends if you staked out those positions knowing they were bargaining positions or if you actually expected to get 10. You know, the guy hasn't carried the load for an NHL team and proved he could do it. So I think that's enough to say, all right, you're not going to be the highest paid goalie in the NHL.
But I think he's good enough to get the contract he got.
For sure.
Like, I think he,
agree.
Would you put him in the same boat as Sorokin?
Yeah. Sorokin, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky.
No, he's below those guys for me. Like, if I had a winner take all, I'm still taking Shesterkin or Vasilevsky.
Out of that list or something.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's unique. There's not too many, and Sorokin's one of them, where they're young enough that they can demand a higher number based on the fact that there's so much upside, but the danger is the upside never comes.
I saw today that Shesterkin's likely to get, what, 11?
Well, that's interesting. He held out. Swayman held out as long as he needed Shesterkin to sign so badly.
Yeah. Set a number, then say, I'm $2 million
less
than
that. Set a number and just go, okay, the market's changed.
Yeah, if he's 11.5, I'm
there's
9,
new
9,
money
5.
In the system. Yeah. There's new money in the system. The cap, I don't know what it's set at now, $88 million?
Yep.
It is. It's an artificial number. It's not really 88.
No, it's not. It's
more than that. The cap should be much higher. They kept it lower so the guys could pay off their escrow. The thing's going to just jump in the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And good.
I think yeah.
Good.
And I think at 825, this is a contract that if Jeremy Swayman does what he's supposed to do, it's going to look really good for the Boston Bruins at 8.25 in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Oh, just what they need is more contract luck.
Value deal.
Wow. Maybe I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Marchand still makes 6.
Is that, right? He's in the last year of his contract this year.
Hart Trophy votes for like a decade getting 6.
They're just going to be really good. They're going to be really good, the Bruins.
It's a good lineup.
And you asked him about Lindholm.
Yeah.
Lindholm's is going to turn into Patrice Bergeron putting on that jersey. He's going to be elite. He's just going to be elite defensively.
He's going to be
unbelievable.
Lindholm of Calgary,
no question.
Number one line,
no question.
Lindholm, McAvoy, Lowry, Carlo, Zadorov, Peak on the back.
Huge defensive core guys.
And up front, they're looking at Zacha, Lindholm, Pasternak, Marchand, Coyle, Geeky. You know, they're good. They're really good. I like Frederick down the lineup. Brazeau, 6'6".
Love Frederick.
A lot of good players. Love Frederick. Yeah. So yeah, Bruins good. In conclusion,
great.
Want to stay on goaltending a little bit. Demko, you mentioned earlier, not off air, that you think he might be out a month.
Is it Donnie and Dollywall? Is that the name of the show? Excuse me for not getting that
the
right.
Wally? Maybe?
No.
Let's continue.
Definitely
another
not.
Another month?
Another month or so into November for Demko, I think, was the report there. Saw that just before we came on air. So, but that's, you know.
You okay with, like, Shelob's had a good camp, and it appears that there's momentum coming off of his spring that he can hold the fort here.
Yeah, I think he's fine for sure. But like one of the reasons the Canucks were with a 110-point team last year, Demko's elite. He's a Vezina caliber guy. So
they claim that Patera today off of waivers from the Bruins.
Claiming a goalie makes you go, okay, they're going to be without a guy for a little bit here. So,
yeah. But there is like some issues going on with his knee that has to be
Dr. Jason Smith filled us in.
Well, I mean, we had him on earlier, and there's no question that he led us to believe that there are other issues going on here, that a guy that you think might be out of a game or two in April isn't ready in October.
It's a long time.
They signed Patera. They also signed Nils Höglander mm-hmm. to 3x3.
Those contracts I find, especially in this cap era where it's either going all to the big boys up mm-hmm. front or you're signing for $750.
Yeah.
Very few now that end up in the $3 million range.
Yeah. Höglander's one of those
guys.
You
don't like it?
Or
you think he could drop?
I typically think, having watched the Toronto Maple Leafs for years, you love these guys until you pay them. You know, you'd love to have who have they done that with over the years, whether it's Engvall or Kerfoot or Yarncroc or Kampfer, until you give them the $2.5 million, then you're like, ugh, it was fun when we were getting them cheap. So Höglander is better than that. I think Höglander is still going to contribute. He's a valuable guy. They may get good value on this deal yet. But you're right. It is one of those deals that's kind of that middle number where you're like...
And Engvall was on waivers?
Pierre Engvall on waivers.
What's he got left on his deal?
Just 6 years? 3.15 or something? 5 or 6 years, anyway.
What the hell was that?
I got to tell you, that might be the weirdest NHL contract ever.
But
he
why?
Would have known that Pierre Engvall was a certain type of player in Toronto. He would have known that. And I don't know why he loves these long-term deals to guys like that. Like, he's not Nick Paul Engvall. He never was. You know, you take a guy's, a fringe guy's motivation.
Kuhlman. There's a few examples from Lou.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's like Lou's a little bit harder to play for. You got to keep your, you know, beard shaved off and your hair cut. And you got, maybe he just wants to make sure no one can run away once he gets him under a deal or something. I don't know why he likes deals like that, but this is wild. And also, he got a 16-team no trade in that, which obviously doesn't matter now.
He did?
Yeah, but that's... He did. He has no trade in that deal.
Oh, my God.
Which is like,
yeah.
Who are you outbidding?
The other team should get protection.
Yeah,
that, like, they won't get...
They don't, no.
At that point, if you're thinking about trading him, you might as well give him the clause because no one's taking him
right.
with that number.
Yeah. Now, for the record, no one's claiming that contract.
No,
he's going to get through. And the Islanders...
Peter did. Yeah, he cleared.
This is a public shaming. He's still going to play... I bet you he plays 60 games for the Islanders this year.
And then for the second and the third game, he disappeared.
That's Butch Goring on Pierre Engvall. Last
That's right.
Yeah.
That was 2 years
That's just
ago.
That's not a wonderful drop in by Derek.
No,
that was
a
Engvall-specific Butch Goring.
Comment.
Butch Goring.
That was not even in the old studio.
Engvall.
Yeah.
We're laughing so hard when he said that.
Yeah.
And
oh
so
my God.
Paul Derek.
Yeah, really good.
You know what? This guy is 6'5". He skates as well as anyone in the league. He shoots as hard as anyone in the league. And he just, that's, it's like if you had no toolbox to operate the tools.
Nobody in the National Hockey League can get to the wrong spot faster than Pierre Engvall.
What would you say?
I saw someone call him athletic
you
today.
Do
I said, he's not athletic. He's just God-given tools.
Yeah.
And hasn't figured out how to use
them. That's how he made the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
That's, all right, Sammy.
Look at him.
What do you got for us? Game time, baby.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out.
It's game time.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Can't do that to me, Derek. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Derek hasn't figured out yet that I am literally a chimpanzee, and if as soon as that goes in my ear, I'm like, I can't do it. Got to start over. A couple things. Was looking at the most goalie wins in the NHL this year for the regular season, and the favorites, this is in descending order. They start with Jake Oettinger is the favorite for the most wins by a goalie this year.
He got no backup?
At plus 600. Juuse Saros is plus 600, so they're both favorites at plus 600. Igor Shesterkin, plus 700. Stu Skinner, plus 700.
Mm.
Andre Vasilevsky, 10-1. And Thatcher Demko, 10-1, which I thought was very interesting to have Thatcher Demko if he may miss a month of the season.
Vasilevsky's backup is...
That list came out before Swayman signed.
Right.
I looked at it today, so yeah. No, it didn't.
Really?
But you think
get value on Swayman then.
Yeah, like you think they paid... Attention to that signing?
I think they pay the closest.
How can you
attention?
Not have Swayman with the Boston Bruins not on that list?
This is you finding value. Do you have the...
I'm just pulling it up here.
You can get Swayman.
So there's multiple people in front of Swayman as well. Swayman is at 14-1.
That's first.
I'm sorry, and they put Demko on that list?
Demko is 10-1.
More likely than Swayman to get a bunch of wins.
Yep.
Okay, then why aren't they paying attention to the fact that this guy is hurt and then not starting?
I got to tell you, there's not many people that pay closer attention than bookmakers.
But you're on one here. Yeah.
So you found some value. If you want to bet on a Toronto Maple Leafs goalie to win that, it is Joseph Woll at plus 3,000, 30-1.
If he plays more games than the goalie who wins the most,
yeah,
that would be a good year.
And there's another one I wanted to bring up with you guys here today because I found this one really fun. Okay. The finals exact forecast. So you can bet on exactly what's going to happen in the final. So, for example, if you want to bet on a reverse of last year's final, the Edmonton Oilers to beat the Florida Panthers, that is 45-1. If you want to bet on them to beat the Devils, it's 45-1. Is there a particular one that you think? What's your Stanley Cup final pick, Kevin?
Well, is there not years now where the team that wins lost the year before, like Florida lost in the Cup final, then won?
Mm-hmm.
Would they be Vegas?
Vegas. No. You're working on a theory here.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'll work it out on the air.
Okay. The Leafs to beat the Oilers is plus 8,000. So there you go.
It's just not enough value there.
Okay, great.
Insanely specific pick.
Make like a Christmas present and wrap it up.
Oh, tough crowd today. Holy smokes. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. This is the app for the latest
odds. Get found his bet.
And find out why it's ever ordinary. Bet365.
Hurry up. To bet.
Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, Sammy, nice job. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll get into the news and notes of the National Hockey League. When we return, what did you ask me? Who's in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah,
I did. All right, maybe we'll discuss after the break. You're listening and watching Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL, the J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming down the stretch here, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. The Anaheim Ducks claim veteran goaltender James Reimer off waivers today from the Buffalo Sabres. I started my career being claimed off of waivers in my early 20s. This guy's 36 years old.
I started my career with James Reimer in the ECHL.
Really?
Yeah.
How was he back then?
I don't know. I was terrible. I wasn't paying attention to anyone else. I was with the Reading Royals, and I played one game with them in 2008.
Listen, he's had a hell of a career just in terms of being a serviceable NHL goaltender.
You're minus one in that game, by the way. Sorry about
that. I did get traded after one game.
What is Reimer's career earnings? I got to think maybe 30, 40 million bucks.
I don't know how to use Puckpedia yet.
I know. I feel the same way. It's like I do not know how to access it.
Cap Friendly, you would have had the answer to me already.
Listen, I don't want to disparage Puckpedia because I'm sure it's there. I just don't know where to look yet. I don't know how to work it yet.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
So he signs in the summer for $1 million with the Buffalo Sabres.
Career earnings, 35 mil.
Okay, I was close.
Yep,
very good.
Right? That's a
great career.
It's a nice.
He has actually out-earned my hockey career.
Right? And nice chunk of change. Figures he'll take another run at being in a situation, comfortable situation, which he liked in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up this morning and goes to the rink and finds out he's got to pack his bags and go coast to coast to Anaheim. I got to think he's sitting there going, what am I doing?
Well, it gets to this point for everyone at the end of their career where you have a block of years of the team, some years of the team, and then it's in going back to 2021, 2019, it's Florida, Carolina, San Jose, Detroit, Buffalo, Anaheim. And at some point you go, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Well,
wife and kids.
And I assume he would have cleared waivers, except Gibson is still out with appendectomy. Yeah, it was close.
Appendectomy.
It was.
Not bad. I'm in the ballpark.
Knew what you meant.
You're getting there.
But they got a young kid there, do they not?
Well, they got that Dostal. Remember the kid
which is unbelievable against the Leafs.
He has shown signs of brilliance, like any other young goaltender.
Right.
right, with tremendous upside, except we can't tell what's between the ears.
And I'm pretty sure the Toronto Sun put out an article or a headline that's like, no name goalie shuts down the Leafs.
Yeah, it was something and everyone super got disparaging. So, yeah.
Like, the Ducks like, did a big post about it and getting all bent out of shape. I remember that. Ducks.
Like, waivers, I was in my early 20s when it happened to me, so I was just didn't happier than a
so you got
pig
claimed
you know
from
what.
Florida by no, Washington. Philly. No, or Philly. Philly. Yeah.
Philly by Washington.
And then you got to play.
And then it's like, you're playing. You're not.
That's the best.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was great because it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Pack up and go. But, yeah. This, you know, this guy's got to pack up and go
you
and
got
sit in a hotel.
The coolest cities in the league, huh? Like, Philly's great. You got to go to D.C. Yeah. You got to be in New York. You got to be in Toronto.
Hartford for you.
Oh, is Hartford not the coolest city in the league?
Well, listen, if you want to get insurance, it's a great place. You know, either sit
in
an insurance seminar or get car insurance. Yeah. I think you can get a good deal in Hartford, Connecticut.
There was value in Hartford.
But clearing waivers got to be a blow to the ego, too, no?
Well, you know, teams do that sometimes to show the player that no one wants you. Like guys that are asking for more ice time or complaining. It's like, you know who wants you? Literally no one.
Not one team.
Yeah.
Not one team.
What's going on with the Florida Panthers? Because they had scheduled a ceremony for their Stanley Cup rings, but that got canceled because there's this storm coming that's even worse
than
the one. Milton's coming through, and it is...
It's bad.
What is happening?
It's actually terrifying.
It's really bad.
Like, terrifying.
Yeah, like Category 5. They're calling for people to evacuate. It's really scary. Tampa Bay Lightning have left Tampa Bay to get to Carolina for their opening game just so there's no travel issues. And then they've canceled the game. They had a preseason game tonight that's been canceled, right?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, which was they're weird gonna, that there was ever a game tonight anyway.
Very strange.
Yeah, but yeah, they canceled it as well.
So, yeah. Thoughts with people in Florida because that's it looks scary.
You got into it a little bit with Andrew Raycroft with Swayman going back to Boston and what maybe the Atlantic Division can be.
Mm-hmm.
Do we expect somebody to come out of the Atlantic Division in the Stanley Cup Final? Because you asked me, I don't know, you want to talk about a potential Stanley Cup Final or do we save that for?
I think we save that for tomorrow.
For tomorrow?
But if you look at the teams outside of the Atlantic and the East, who do you think outside of that would be in the Stanley Cup Final, outside of the Atlantic? Like, because I look at these teams.
Jersey, Carolina, Rangers.
Rangers are the
Islanders,
one to me.
Penguins.
Rangers are the one to me that really stands out.
I thought.
But the Devils, come on. Like, I'm not. Everybody is so horned up about the Devils.
Well, I'm not, Doug.
I'm not. Like, I think they're good.
Yeah.
And they could potentially be very good, but like, you know, just something so horned up.
I can't think of a new coach better scenario than the New Jersey Devils for Sheldon Keefe.
You think it's the right team for him?
I don't know if it's the right team, but all I'm saying is there's a lot of coaches out there would have loved to walk into Hughes and Markstrom now, their goaltender, and...
But they scored a goal last game where Andre Palat went in there and, like, bodied someone off the puck and it ends up on Nason's stick. Yeah. You know, just beautiful. Did you guys take anything away? I see people, like, What Chaos, shout out to Pete Blackburn and DJ Bean. The heading for their podcast today was, like, the Sabre season was fun while it lasted or something to that effect.
I mean, I watched a lot of both of those games.
Yeah.
And the Devils were skating circles around the Sabres. Like, they are a big...
I think it's more
unit
about the Devils than Buffalo. I still think Buffalo's okay.
They don't even have that.
So you're buying the Devils big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy in.
Regular season for sure. They're not big, right? Like, it's not like Hughes and Bratt are going to overpower anyone in the playoffs. But
that Bratt can fly.
Yeah.
So fast.
They don't even have Luke Hughes in the lineup. They don't have Brett Pesce in the lineup.
they're loaded.
Like, come on.
Hamilton's
those
coming.
Those two guys come back.
Yeah.
Like, it just
makes it get
a little better for them.
So it's going to be really fun here for the first month when maybe the Leafs getting used to the new system with Berube, maybe a slower start than you.
By a fast Devils team.
You know, they play the second night of the season here. Leafs on the second half of back-to-back, traveling there. There's chance for early panic here.
What do we think about
not here?
Underwhelming loss to Montreal, going there, 0-2.
So, Buffalo goes and gets Lindy Ruff. Yeah. Lindy Ruff's a guy that you hire if you
get you, or you're ready.
Got to get in.
You're ready.
You're almost ready, or you just need a nudge to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That would be a huge accomplishment for this team, getting in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I had an article out yesterday that was about my expectations for every NHL team.
Did you just sit there all day and write articles? How many articles you got out there?
32.
But I do have one out, expectations for every team. Two sentences, just what I think is going to happen with every team.
Ooh.
And I was like, I think this Buffalo team could have a good back end, could surprise people, actually a pretty good team. And already had that paragraph sent to me like, ha-ha, idiot.
I just think.
Give it a sec. Let him play some games.
I just think I look at this Boston or Buffalo lineup, and they just don't have that much of an identity for me.
No.
Right?
Not up front.
So, Tage Thompson, I know we called him Mario Jr.
Tage Lemieux.
For a long time.
For a long time.
Whole first, second season.
Had a bit of a setback last year when it comes to, you know, managing high expectations. He can still score. Like, he can still come up with maybe 35 or 40 goals.
Cage should score 40 every year.
But who's the face of this team? Who's the leader? Who's the alpha dog?
Dylan Cousins?
No.
Alex Tuck?
Is it Tuck?
No, the face of the team is Dahlin. It's Power. It's Dahlin and Power.
Dahlin is the face of that team.
Yes.
Dahlin's now the captain. He's their number one defenseman.
Okay.
He's a Norris-level guy.
But up front.
They don't.
You know, every team has prospects, and for years they've been like, here comes J.J. Paterka, and here comes Jack Quinn. It's like, everyone has these guys. You need to trade for some.
I wish Owen Power had a mean streak in him.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
No. You know, it's tough when you're big and everyone says stuff like that, and you're like, can I just be good? Not okay to just like shoot it in a bunch and defend well? No.
I don't think you can maximize if you just want to be good.
Yeah.
Like, or do you want to be great? Like Hedman. I remember, and I think it was Brian Lawton drafted Hedman. And, you know, he loved him, obviously. And we've had this conversation on this show over, you know, if it came down to Hedman versus Tavares, if you had the first pick.
Still go Hedman.
And Lawton loved him that much. Mm. But there was those first couple of years where, you know, I think Hedman probably looked a lot like Owen Power, where you're like this great potential and
had a good comparison.
And had great upside. But when does you start seeing a guy like fully committed and physically engaged and taking control of a game? And
because Hedman's not a mean streak guy either, but he uses his size in a way to protect the net.
Owen Power is in his fourth season, starting his fourth season. He's 21 years old.
This is his fourth NHL season?
He played 8 games in 21-22 at the end of the year.
Does that count?
Yeah, I mean, he played in the NHL for a season. And then he played 22-23, 23-24. He's 21.
Those eight were when he signed, I think.
Yeah, still, I mean, he played.
At the end of the year.
This is the fourth NHL season he is playing. We're having a semantics battle. He's 21 years old.
I'm fine with it.
He's 21.
I'm fine with it.
I'm not concerned about him being really good. I think he's going to be
I do believe that these big guys take time, like Chara did. Zadorov was not a star immediately. I'm a star now, but...
Can you get it out of a guy?
Yeah.
You can?
I think it hits a certain point.
Anger, but
you're just the anger's the
key. I got news for you. The controlled anger or that edge that... It sets guys up to go to other levels.
Right.
As long as it's controlled and it's like, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're talking Stanley Cups, playoffs, that sort of thing. I don't know if Power will get there. He needs to get to the level where he's like a 25-goal-a-year NHLD at that size. And then we can worry about layers. Let's just get that offensive piece.
Yeah. I know. I mean... You're right, 21, lots of upside. Yep. Still the body needs to develop. The mind needs to develop, right?
Yeah. Awesome name. Power.
So.
All right. Let's.
What else is of interest?
Hall on waivers.
Justin Hall on waivers. So the Detroit Red Wings, let's keep it in the Atlantic here for a hot sec. Hall has, I believe he makes 3.4 this year and next. So no one's claiming that deal. Detroit here. Our team's catching them. The Iser plan, is that what we were calling it? Terrible name. Like, now Ottawa, people like Ottawa more. I've seen a few people like Buffalo more. What's up with Detroit?
They got good players. They got great young players. But
who?
Lucas Raymond.
Okay, Insider.
Insider.
Okay.
And they have, by all accounts, one of the best farm systems.
I think Larkin's. Okay. Yeah. I think Larkin's a good player. I don't know if on a championship team, is he the number one guy? I think he's pretty good, but that's next level stuff.
Yeah.
I question a few things that Stevie Eiserman's done over the last few years. I look at Andrew Kopp and Comfort, and I'm like, they're the same.
And they were also.
Do you need two of them?
Paid well. Ben Chiarot was paid a lot. Justin Hall was paid a lot. You know, these are.
Right. The other one I have issues with Detroit is, do I want Tarasenko and Pat Kane both in my top six?
Mm-hmm.
Can I have both of them? They're the same now.
Yeah, and I love the idea that, like, you could have one of these guys at the end of their career shoot it in the net for you.
But two?
Yeah.
Do you need two of them?
That's listed. That is their second line.
Yeah.
That's with Comfort in the middle.
Tarasenko, Comfort, Kane as your second line is not in the Atlantic. That ain't
like,
right.
I like you're talking like it's the AL East now.
Tarasenko.
Well, you know, it's like that doesn't play in a
bit. Tarasenko works best with a strong room, i.e. St. Louis, I.O., Florida. Tarasenko in Ottawa was a disaster.
Really?
Yes.
In that he just
didn't work. Didn't move the needle.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't help. Didn't, you know, wants his ice time and didn't seem to have a great influence on the team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about Detroit's room right now if they're ready for a Tarasenko.
Yeah. I think Derek Lalonde, great guy by all accounts, and a lot of people, great coach.
Great Hockey Night in Canada analyst breaking down how to beat Tampa Bay.
But I think last Bet365 odds I saw, I think he was the favorite for the hot seat, like the hottest seat around the NHL. So we'll keep an eye on things there in Detroit.
Okay, and as we get ready for Wednesday, more and more talk about the Montreal Canadiens, and that's the other team that are they ready to make noise and make play significant games in March, April?
I don't want to be dismissive, but no.
Jack Eye's trying to make noise.
Jack Eye is a thriller. You know, they love Slafkovský, fully believe that he's going to be the real deal. I like Caulfield more than most people. This D is too young to be competitive. Way too young. Vancouver traded for Eric Brännström, trading out Tucker Poolman.
Cat move, apparently.
Retaining $500,000 of Poolman's deal.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was he not considered a key piece in trading?
Yes. Was Eric Carlson or Mark Stone?
Mark Stone to Vancouver, to Vegas.
Yes. He was when he came back to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so it's just he hasn't found his footing. So Poolman goes to Colorado, which Poolman's a pretty serviceable guy. You get him for $2 million. Be a good fit for a Colorado team there and just for Vancouver. Save some money and see if Brännström can figure it out.
There you go.
You like Colorado? In the East?
I don't know.
To make any noise
because
at all?
It totally depends if they have
Nichushkin
or Landeskog.
We wouldn't be shocked if they somehow found themselves in a conference or Stanley Cup final.
Nichushkin or Landeskog. If they have both guys, they can win the Stanley Cup. If they have neither guy, they're not going to win a round. You know,
I still think Landeskog is a tremendous long shot to resume his career.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm wrong. But he's been out for how long now? 2 years?
It's going to be by the time he gets back in the mix.
That's a long time to ask a guy to come back and
imagine
be
how good
great
everything
again.
Else feels. His joints must feel great to see for that knee.
Pliability up top is great.
All right.
What do you want to talk about tomorrow?
Will we still get
tomorrow's opening night of the NHL.
Day.
You didn't hear?
Oh, I'm breaking down Utah Blackhawks.
So will we have
Utah Blues?
Will the game be over by the time we go to air?
No, it'll be on literally while we're making our first hour. It'll be on.
Oh, they better have a hell of a first period.
Give us some juice, boys.
Still some meat on the bone before we get everything going on this side of the country. Wednesday
night,
big night. Our thanks to Andrew Raycroft. Have a great night, everybody.